Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. We are back after a 1 month break. How's your break been, Vicky?
Oh, it's been great. God, I can't believe it's been a month, actually. It's gone really fast.
I know.
As time always does these days.
We wanted to focus this episode to be all about living this new normal. So we are now sort of moving out of lockdown. We certainly haven't returned to our old way of living. Many of us are living a totally new way of living. Things seem to be changing all the time. And for some people, everyone seems to be living by different rules as well, which is really making it confusing. So we just wanted to dedicate an episode to talking about living in these uncertain times, adjusting to a new normal, how we're personally finding it. And yeah, just let's open up the conversation, because I just think what I found so valuable during the like heavy duty lockdown was having these weekly episodes talking about our experiences, but also having our love-ins. We had our Zoom meetups with anyone who wanted to join from the Project Love community. And I didn't realize, I knew at the time how much value I was getting from them. But I don't know about you, but I really missed them. I really missed them when we stopped doing them, just as like an emotional anchor each week and a way of connecting. And after we finished those love-ins, I really noticed I grieved a lot more the absence of just hanging out with friends in the way that we used to. Because I used to pop into town 3 times a week to either meet with clients, meet with friends, meet with you, Vicky, and all of that has stopped for now, for the foreseeable, and I really, really miss it. It was a big part of my life.
Yeah, I'm really missing the variety in my day now. Like, it's just, you know, these same four walls. And yeah, I was just really feeling it actually the other day. I was saying to my husband, oh, I just want to be somewhere else for the day, or I just, you know, want a change of scene. And just having not been able to work anywhere else but this desk, you know, this flat.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling the effects of that. It's like an understimulation.
Yes, absolutely. And I think people will be struggling with different things. I find personality profiling so fascinating. And I, ever since I've been coaching for the past over 10 years, I've always used Jungian type personality assessments. And there's 16 different personality types. And what's so interesting is that in times like these, for example, you and I, Vicky, are the same one. We're ENFP, we're an idealist, we're called the champion. And we really thrive from variety. And from feeling inspired. And a lot of people, perhaps not so much personality, but could be, really get stimulated and affected by their environment, by their, well, we all do to a certain degree, some more than others, some with their visual environment, some with the sound, you know, kind of sound quality of their environment. Some people really need to be around the hustle and bustle of other people. I love working in cafes, because I get to do deep focus work with my headphones on, but I can feel that movement around me. And that's my ideal space. It doesn't translate so well with a small child running around creating that activity, because people in cafes don't normally come up to me every 5 minutes and ask me to play. So I'm unable to recreate that. And I just think it's constantly feeling like something's off, is my experience of it now.
Yeah, that's a really good way of describing it. I just feel really jumpy as well when I go out, and I've started to normalize the jumpiness, which is strange, actually.
Really?
Yeah, like I just, even just now, just earlier today, popping out to the shops, and I just feel But I think it's the mask as well. It's just, you know, it's very difficult. Well, I'm finding it anyway. It's difficult to adapt to wearing something around my face. I'm used to smiling at strangers as I walk by and, you know, having that brief connection with a stranger. And now I just feel quite disconnected as a result of, you know, having the mask on. No one can see your face. And just a little bit like, ooh, you know, like aware of people being around me and if it's okay and if there's enough space for them, and just like there's a lot that you need to sort of think about now. And it's, yeah, it can be intense.
Yeah, because nothing feels natural, nothing feels automatic. You can't kind of like wander off to the shops with your mind wandering, because you've got to be constantly thinking about like the distance and the just everything. Yeah. Just feels, yeah, you just have to think about everything so much more. I think it's going to be fascinating looking back and seeing how this has affected our behavior, even to the extent, I'm just thinking with a mask on, I have noticed that I have to smile even harder with my eyes.
Yes.
Just to really, and under the mask, I'm grinning harder. They can't see it, but I need to grin harder with my mouth for it to impact on the eyes. So I'm just like, I wonder if once the masks come off, if we're going to be with slight like weird grimaces when we smile. Just to emphasize, and if like, do you know one of the things that's happened? I almost never wear makeup. I put mascara on yesterday just because it'd been such a long time and it felt weird. I was like, this is odd, because I could just notice the mascara. But I wonder if now when people are going out and they're wearing masks, they're like, they're going to really do up the eyes and that's going to be the new fashion. It's all about the eyes and like, you know, like that. I mean, I haven't really been plugged into this at all, but I'm sure I've seen that there's been stuff around about fashion for Zoom meetings. It's all about the big top.
Yes. I've seen a few of those as well. Like, what's the best lighting for your Zoom outfits and makeup? I saw an email pop into my inbox about that, like what the right makeup is for Zoom. It's like, whoa, now we have to think about this.
I mean, I have to say, but I do, and I do keep giving shout outs to the primary carers, the parents who are managing with kids at home. I don't think they're worrying so much about the top they're wearing. They're just hoping they're wearing a top and that their hair is in some way not looking like a child has just pulled in it. And man, I feel like I have a child, but I also very much equal parent with my partner, and we both work for ourselves. So we've been able to really adapt how we work and when we work because we've got that flexibility. But even now, when my son was back at school for 12 days in total, he will have been at school for 12 days and 6 months, which is more than a lot of kids. But even the times when he was at school, him coming back at 3:30 meant that work from that point on, it was difficult to really focus on work and really get time in. Whereas before, I used to have every other day, I would be out working till 5 or 6 before I came home. Mm. And it's just like, so my days are much shorter. I've got far more smaller windows of opportunity to do work. It's stripped back down. But if you're employed, and that's, you know, now we're seeing the horrific implications of how many women, mothers are now being made redundant because clearly the people who employ them are realizing that they don't have the same time availability if they're also managing, because we could be going back into it, lockdown with children, which is disgusting. And I hope there will be some laws put in place as soon as possible to protect mothers and primary carers who are the fathers from that, because wow, what another kick in the guts for mothers who get such a hard time in the world of employment already. But yeah, it's and that's the thing, it's so different challenges for everyone, and people who are vulnerable are watching the rest of the world go out and they're still having to maintain the same kind of precautions as we all were doing collectively during lockdown. It's just hard in so many different ways for different people. I think it is still important to talk about that, because if we keep normalizing it, like you say, normalizing going out and feeling jumpy and jittery, I don't want us to normalize that. I want us to keep talking about this is hard and here is how to manage that and look after your system, your nervous system. If now day-to-day chores, what was like, popping down to the shops, eat and take a breath, then you're suddenly on high alert, going to go pick up some milk, you go on high alert, you know? It's, I think it's really important that we, yeah, just keep talking about that rather than normalizing it, because otherwise that stuff will get buried and our poor little nervous system won't be given the care and attention it still needs. What would you say are the other things that you've been finding challenging with living this new normal, in inverted commas?
I think it's just a lot of adapting and adjusting, and it just takes up energy, emotional headspace, it's just the idea of everyday things sort of not being easy and every day anymore. You know, everything's sort of something that you have to think about carefully. And so it's just a lot of adjusting and adapting. And it's just things like, I went, this is a personal share, I'll probably regret saying this, but anyway, I went for a wax.
I didn't know what you were going to say.
And I was, just the first time in however many months. And then the experience of wearing a mask as well, when you're already feeling a little bit vulnerable and exposed. And I'm wearing a mask. Things like that is like, okay, this is the way we do this now.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. I had acupuncture as well, the same thing with a mask, which again is was a little bit strange. So I think it's just a general feeling of sort of strangeness as I adapt to the new way of just getting around and doing things that used to feel very effortless and every day. But also I just think what's really sad about it is just like when I'm out and about, I feel a little bit more disconnected from strangers and disconnected from my community where I live. And I always used to feel really connected because I just love, you know, smiling at strangers and interacting and, you know, making conversation with people. And that just isn't happening as often at the moment. And that's okay. But it's just, it's just a feeling of like disconnection.
I was just sort of, I got the giggles as you said that, because I'm just thinking
about the wax.
I've been thinking about how I also love that connection with strangers and, you know, giving them a smile as I walk by. So I'm finding new ways to do it, and it's very much using the eyebrows.
Yes, good idea.
Just a chirpy raising of the eyebrows. when I'm using my mask.
And didn't your dad paint a smile on his mask?
Yeah.
He printed a smile.
he printed his own face smiling and put it on a mask, and it looked grotesque. So he has not worn that. He has not been wearing that. It's like, you don't need to add further confusion to what's going on out there. But oh my God, I've got to tell you a funny story. So my dad's taken to wearing like a bandana, you know, like a cowboy style pattern bandana, because he prefers it to the mask. He doesn't feel he can breathe in it. So he was standing at a queue at the supermarket. The woman came up to him, who's like organizing the queue. And she looked at him, and he had the bandana around his face. I said, "Oh, hello, sir. And may I ask, where did you leave the horse?" Because he looked like he'd jumped straight. Oh my God, it was so funny. So people are still managing to have fun with it. He couldn't believe, like, then they burst out in hysterics. So it's good that people are being able to have that kind of interaction. And it's important, you know, that we try and laugh our way through it a bit, I think, find some lightness in it all. But I will say there are also let's focus on, there are upsides to this. You know, we did a whole thing on, whole episode on lessons that we've learned in lockdown that we wanted to carry through. Can you remember what lessons they were for you, and have you been able to carry them through?
Yes, I remember one of them was the importance of simplicity. And I've realized how much I value that. Mm. And I mean, I have continued to really keep my world quite small and have really simplified everything over lockdown. And I'm still really enjoying that. I don't miss the rush and the drama. I think there used to be a lot more drama in my life, you know, just like rushing to get to places and,
totally,
you know, getting Ubers around town and just having lots on my plate. And I'm just really enjoying having less on my plate and just having more time at home, even though, you know, I'm missing the variety. I have generally been enjoying having more time at home. So that's something that's definitely I've been able to carry through. And because I've had more headspace over the last few months and being at home more, I've been able to start new habits or sort of recommit to positive habits. Things like meditation, daily meditation that I'm now really into. I think I'm on day 47 today, 48.
What?
Yeah.
You've done 47 days in a row of meditation.
I think I've missed three, but yeah.
Wow. So, Vicky.
Yeah, apart from those 3 days.
That is amazing.
And I just have not been able to do anything on a daily basis for so many years. And I really think that it's because I've simplified my life and I, you know, ran out of excuses, quite frankly. I'm really able to still carry that through, and all the positive habits that I've started during lockdown I'm really still enjoying. And as you say, with, you know, the importance of calming your nervous system, I've just been able to create a new morning routine ritual that really supports me, because I need to more than ever right now because of the increased sort of anxiety triggers and you know, the jumpiness when you're out and about. And I've really needed to use my tools more than ever to help me to relax and calm my nervous system and release any anxiety that I may be feeling. Mm. So the morning routine is she's back in action.
Wow.
My rituals in the morning, I'm really, really enjoying that.
That's great. It's interesting. I absolutely feel the same as you. There's less drama. For me, it sounds that it's there's less urgency. So I used to, if I had to go into town, which it's, you know, two sides of the same coin in a way, I'm missing that. I'm missing the human interaction, meeting up with people in person. I'm an extrovert. Extroverts get their energy from being around other people. We all need it, but extroverts in particular really need it. And I've definitely missed that and definitely missed hanging out with girlfriends in particular, because it's not the same on Zoom. It's just not the same, is it? As being in the physical presence of one another. But every time I did have to go into town, get on the train, catch the train time, then I would go into London Bridge, which is always, no matter what time of day, like there's just a sense of urgency. Everyone's hustling, bustling, like everyone's walking at a fast pace. I need to get to this place. We get whipped into this urgent frenzy. I think a lot of the time it's without reason. It's just that's what you do. You go to work, right, let's go, let's feel urgent, let's get everywhere as fast as we possibly can. I've probably left it a little bit too late to leave anyway, so now I really have to rush and all go, you know. And I experienced that on a daily basis, and the stress of my nervous system from that, really not having that in my life, has made such a big difference. I really notice it. I really notice how urgency was something that was a problem for me. I often got caught up in this sense of urgency, and quite often it was because going out and about in a busy city. And now I don't do that. I don't have that. And actually, where I live is quite quiet. In fact, they've just blocked off all the roads, which is a nightmare if you're in a car. But if you're pedestrian, it's even more quiet. I'm in London, but it feels like I'm not anymore. So I don't have that so much going outside. I don't have that jumpiness quite so much because I don't pass so many people in the street as you do where you are in London. But so that sense of urgency and the stress that used to come with that is, I really significantly feel that absence in my life. And with it comes this, a peacefulness and a calmness that I'm really, really valuing and really enjoying. And that's something that when we are masks off and back on the train and really back to normal, but who knows when that could be, I don't want to return to that. So it's funny, isn't it? Isn't it weird that the thing that I just started off saying that I'm craving and I'm missing is the very thing that I'm also so grateful to not be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be both.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, yeah, hanging out with my friends more, I miss that.
And it makes you really appreciate time now, time with girlfriends in person. I've been really cherishing and just, really appreciating much more, because without it for all that time, oh my goodness, like you just really miss just being seen in that way that Zoom, you just don't get on Zoom, as you say. It's great that we've got it and that we've been able to use things like Zoom to connect. Well, we can't see people in real life. We hadn't been able to, but nothing replaces that just in-person connection and really being seen.
Yeah. And it's
by your girlfriends.
And then it's really valued quality time, isn't it? Rather than we probably took it for granted before when it was just easy and always there. Because I do feel like it's harder to get people together. Is it? Or is that just me? I don't know. I don't feel it. Well, because there aren't like parties going on. There aren't get-togethers. There aren't let's go out for dinner. Let's do this. Like you know, whereas before it would have been more social occasions, birthdays and stuff. Whereas, oh, we're going to this pub or we're going to this restaurant or we're, you know, now it's either someone's house or a park. And in good old England with our variable weather, you know, you have to be reliant then. On weather dependent, let's go meet up in the park or in another's house.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. And also it's not knowing how long it's going to be like this and if there will be a second wave, which...
Yeah, and I think that's what people are nervous of.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, again, the not knowing. And we've been talking about this all through the Life in Lockdown episodes and with our loving community. It's just the not knowing what the future holds.
Yeah.
And there is a weird calmness to that as well as a real fear, because you know, there's just uncertainty and lack of sort of being able to, well, it's not being able to plan on a practical level, but also not knowing if a second wave is around the corner and when. So it can feel a bit discombobulating, I think.
I tell you what I have been doing with the time and the space that has opened up, which is sounds weird because, you know, I've been at home with a child as well as working and writing a book. But since finishing the book, the time that has opened up, I mean, I'm mainly coaching, which I'll get onto that, which is such a wonderful, I'm just enjoying it so much because almost my adventure, my experience of adventure is coming through the coaching journeys I'm taking people on. But I've really started doing a lot of learning and courses. So I'm in the Everyday Joy membership with Tamu Thomas from 360, at Live 360 on Instagram. I'm doing Emerging Voices with Isla McLeod, which is also amazing. And I'm also about to do another course with Marianne Cantwell on business stuff. So I'm just like, I hadn't even told you about that. I have not done this level of investing in my own well-being, soul nourishment, education, coaching. I mean, I've had, you know, coaching before with Dr. Talim, which is amazing. But yeah, I haven't put aside so much time before to doing these things. And it's probably because of the lack of social engagements that I'm like, oh right, well, got all this time now, let's actually get involved in online communities and doing courses. And I am loving it. I am loving it so much. So that has been a real, you know, that space that's opened up from basically from the lack of socializing. I've been able to fill it with learning and coaching and nourishing. And that's really been really exciting, actually. So it's so important to acknowledge the challenges, but also really keep mindful of the positives that are also in this opportunity. It's an opportunity, not a challenge, it's an opportunity. No, it's both. It's both challenge and opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there are dark parts and there are light parts. And it's really important to acknowledge both and all shades, really.
Yeah. How's your coaching been going? How's all the dating?
Oh, I've been loving it. Yeah, so I had quite a few clients meet people during lockdown and start, well, it's the beginning of something for quite a few of them. And so we're now in the stage of, you know, meeting up in person and sort of getting to know. Yeah, getting to know people that way, not just on Zoom and, you know, through the phone. So it's been really exciting, and I've just been welcoming quite a few new clients over the last 6 weeks, and I've just been absolutely loving it. I really have. I think similar to you, it's just like that sort of energy and fun and adventures come through in that experience.
Yes.
Which has made up for the lack of variety in a big way.
Yeah, exactly. I've really felt that. And I remember saying this actually when I first opened the doors to coaching and was saying, you know, doors were open, and a few episodes ago. And I said, you know, because we can't be going off on travels and adventures, but we can have these inner journeys. And I'm doing it for myself, but also loving experiencing that and accompanying people on their own inner journeys and outward journeys, because they're obviously, you know, starting businesses and creating new career paths. And actually, yeah, it's been such a source of variety and excitement and adventure and newness and discovery. You know, it's that discovery and that magic that happens. Because obviously I've not been coaching for ages because I've been writing and very, you know, in my own little cave. So just, remembering that the weird magic that happens when people commit to making change. It's like the synchronicity, the serendipity, the like, this is weird. I mean, how did this suddenly opportunity just turn up, you know, for them as they embark on these journeys? And it's, all that magic and adventure and discovery when things in the world feel so unknown. It's that there's such an inner world that we can be exploring and discovering if in our outer world it feels like those things have to be put on pause at the moment, which is again a beautiful side effect of this, but also the fact that I'm doing it for myself as well. It feels so good. I have to say, for career change, this, I mean, it's a big time because there's a lot of redundancies going on, which is, you know, challenging and upsetting for people, but redundancies can be a great opportunity for creating a new career path that's really fulfilling. It's also a really good time for a lot of businesses to start up. You know, I've got a lot of clients at the moment who are wanting to become coaches. And I actually think because of this, you know, inner journeying and inner discovery, it's such a good time to, you know, start up a coaching business, train to be a coach. And there are other services out there, online-based services that are really flourishing at the moment. So it can be a really exciting time. But yeah, that inner discovery, inner journey, this is a good time for that. Let's use this time for that.
Yeah, I think it's such a positive time for change because there is a lot of change going on. And I think there's something quite comforting in the fact that it's focusing on the things that you can control and things you can influence right now, because there's so much that we can't in the outside world. And it's just really seeing a time like this is an opportunity for change. I think it's such a good time for making a big change or small change in your life. Some people may have a bit more headspace to be thinking about, you know, change, whether it's in their love life, their career, their work, their life, their lifestyle, and having a little bit more time to reflect. I've seen that a lot with my clients, actually, and people that have got in touch. They've had more time to reflect over lockdown. And that's just been such a gift, because for some people, they just haven't had any headspace. You know, whether that's due to just having a busy career and they've been furloughed, or they're just working from home and they've got a bit more time and space, or, you know, a host of reasons. I think a lot of people are finding that they've got a bit more headspace to reflect and think, and then, you know, take some inspired action.
Yeah. And I think it's because we've been forced to stop rushing around. We've been forced to stop, you know, running from this thing to that thing, whether it's work, whether it's social commitments, you know. And so now, in that space of sort of stillness and the not rushing and the lack of urgency, because, you know, and all that frenetic pace, that's, it's only then that you can start to stop and reflect. You know, it's very hard to rush around and reflect. Extremely hard to rush around in a state of urgent panic and reflect. So yeah, I think it's so important to just keep looking back at, okay, what are the gifts that we can find in this? You know, what are the challenges we're facing, and how can we help ourselves and one another through those different challenges? Mm-hmm. And what is, at the same time, what is the gift in this for each of us? And it will be different for each of us, but certainly, but the collective thing is for most people, is the stopping, the being still, the more space, you know, and reflecting and assessing our lives and how we're living. And do we want to go back to exactly the way things were? That's the other thing. Oh, you know, I read the editor's letter in Vogue. You know, the Vogue, the reset edition, where they just had landscapes on the cover. Did you see that?
Did they? No.
So they just had landscapes on the cover. And I'm embarrassed to say I've forgotten the name of the wonderful editor of Vogue, what his name is. I'm very bad with names. But anyway, he's an truly inspiring man. And to have him, you know, running a magazine like Vogue is amazing. And to do a reset like that was just landscapes. But his editor's letter was so powerful. And it was all about, do we want to go back to the old normal in light of the rushing around, but in light of the inequality and the, you know, racial injustice and all of this? Mm. It's like, we need to look at it all, how we've been living, what we've just been putting up with, and ask ourselves, is that what we want to go back to? Oh my God, it was so inspiring and powerful. I think it's the August issue. Well, it's the one with the landscapes on it. You can't miss it. There's no face on the cover. Yeah, really good. So this huge global collective reset. It's powerful stuff. Mm. We are living through history. And they will be, you know, what we're living through right now, they will be looking back and picking apart and unpacking and analyzing for centuries, and the impact it had on, human behavior from this point on. It's weird that when you think about it, we're living through history.
Yes. God, what we're going through, there's going to be children in a classroom in the future learning about what happened in 2020.
And why adults today really, the people that lived through the lockdown, the global pandemic, really overuse their eyebrows and their eyes to communicate themselves. Over-exaggerated use of the eyebrow.
I've started waving as well.
A lot more hand signals and and over-exaggerated eye movements, which I think I did anyway. So, you know, I've been rehearsing it for years, really. It's not a time to get Botox, ladies. Like, you will be, they can't see your mouth and your eyes and eyebrows can't move and your forehead, then you're going to really struggle being understood or showing any kind of expression at all.
That's where the waving comes in.
Okay, fine. If you freeze your forehead, you'll just have to use your hands to express yourself when you're wearing a mask. Oh, Vicky, it's good. It's so good to sit and talk about it, because I think I think I had just been trying to force a normality that on top of something that isn't yet normal.
And yeah,
you know, it's important to just keep talking about it and not go into
it's like normalize the unnormalness.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Normalize this feeling that is not natural to us.
Exactly. And we're so good at doing that and just pretending like everything's fine. And it's back to that paradox, isn't it? That parallel. There's the challenge and the opportunity. There's, you know, the upsides and the downsides, the pros and cons to all of it. And just, embracing it all. So, yeah, lovely chatting with you, Vicky. I've missed this.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. And next week, in the next episode, we have got guests back on the show for the first time since lockdown, because we dedicated lockdown to the series on living life in lockdown. So we've got guests back. My first guest is Nahanda Truscott-Reed. I did the episode with her this past week, and it was so powerful. It's our first episode on motherhood, and I go into the episode why I resist the identity of mother. It's the whole big topic in itself. It was so powerful. I found it so moving. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. And Vicky, who's your first guest?
So I've got Laura Mucha. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. I'm going to have to check. I think it's Mucha or Mucha. And she has written a book called We Need to Talk About Love. And she has spent a whole decade researching love. Oh, my goodness. She's had interviews. She's done interviews with people ranging from the ages of 5 to 90, and 10 years of interviews and fascinating research about finding love, about sustaining love, infidelity, divorce, just all sorts. Whatever question you would ever have about love and relationships, it's in her book. So I've got so many things I want to ask her. It's going to be tricky trying to fit it into the allotted time. Wow, just fascinating. I can't wait for this conversation. It's happening in a few days' time, and that will be the one after
Nahanda. Yeah. Oh my, I can't wait to hear that. It's so good having guests back on the show.
Yeah.
All right, my lovelies. Well, it's great to be connecting with you again. I love our Project Love community so much here on the podcast and over on Instagram. It's such a wonderful source of connection and community. So thank you, dear listener, for being part of that community.
Yeah.
Bringing us so much joy.
So much love.
And Vicky, have you got spaces at the moment for love coaching?
So yes, from September onwards, there will be some spaces to join me on the 3-month Get Ready for Love one-to-one love coaching program. And so if you are interested in coming on board and coming on that adventure with me, then check out loveprojectlove.com/lovecoaching. And you can find out all about it there. There's a form that you can fill out, and then we can arrange your discovery call and get you booked in nice and early for that September start.
Great. Yes. And I've also got places opening up. I've got a 3-month career change coaching course, and I've also got a 6-week career change or business kickstart course that you can do. And it's one-to-one coaching. And I am just absolutely loving the people that have turned up for coaching. It has just been so joyful and amazing. I'm loving going on these journeys with people. So yes, I have spaces. If you're interested, then head on over to loveprojectlove.com and you'll find out all the information about our coaching, and we'll put direct links in the show notes. So get in touch if you want to find out more and book in a discovery call. Take more people on these wonderful adventures.
So we really hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's so good to be back with you. And take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.